The following interview was conducted with Lowell R. Barnes, DVM, for the Purdue University Oral History Program. It took place on Wednesday, February the 4th, 2009, at his home. The interviewer is Catherine Marquis, the Oral History Librarian. Welcome and good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Thank you. Could you tell us a little bit about where you were born and your parents in your early years?
Well, I was born in Jennings County, Indiana, and my father was Alan Leslie Barnes. He was a school teacher, and we lived in Jennings County, Indiana, and the county seat of Jennings County is North Vernon, so my early introduction to and our address was Comiskey, Comiskey, Indiana, and my father died, and my mother was a widow, and she, from my father's estate, got together enough funds that she could send me to Ohio State University to study veterinary medicine.
Well, how nice.
I studied veterinary medicine at Ohio State University and graduated in veterinary medicine and worked for the government of the United States, the Department of Agriculture, Bureau of Animal Industry, and retired 4 years later.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what high school did you go to? What was high school like for you?
High school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school to Fortville, Indiana.
Okay.
And there I completed 4 years in high school in Fortville, Indiana. And then I my next move was to study veterinary medicine. I went to the Ohio State University.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about when you were there? What was the classes in the classroom and your professors? And what was campus life?
Well, campus life was great. It is, I went to the university and went through freshman week, and it was a transition because I had lived in the country. I wasn't accustomed to wearing a shirt, coat and tie. I generally, but I was a student, and as a student, I was on the honor roll in the College of Veterinary Medicine. Dean Brumley was the then dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Ohio State University, and I, during that first 2 years, I was given a letter from the dean complimenting to my mother, who was paying the fees to keep me in school. I did not have to pay an out-of-state fee because at that particular time, veterinary students were permitted to enroll in veterinary medicine without paying an out-of-state fee.
Very nice. Was your was the class very large?
The class eventually was 31 members, but when we started, there was around 75 in the School of Veterinary Medicine at that time at Ohio State University.
Okay. Did you live on campus?
Yes, I lived. I lived on campus, as is, I had four roommates that we lived on Frambies Avenue in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, very nice. You mentioned about a shirt and tie. Did you have to wear a shirt and tie to class?
No, I did not. But
okay.
It was just that certain
events?
No, not just a class, but...
Special events or smoking?
They had freshman week.
I see.
And at freshman week, the students became acquainted, and among other things, the students in later years told me that they had told us that there would only be a portion of us that would go on and graduate, and a number of them had decided I wasn't going to be the one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Then within 10 days' time, they had a question which was to describe the scapula of the horse, that being a specific bone in the horse. And the class went all around. This was in an anatomy. Anatomy is the study of parts, bones, muscles, and the entire complex of an animal. And so when the question got to me, I was the first one to answer it.
Very.
And after that, students wanted to study with me.
Very good, very good. Did you have any brothers or sisters, Dr. Barnes? Are you an only child?
I was an only child,
okay,
yes.
Okay. Now, then, what year did you graduate and you got your DVM from Ohio State?
I got my DVM from Ohio State in 1935.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about family. You're married. Did you meet your wife while you were in vet school?
Yes, I did, and okay. She's maybe on the phone. I don't know whether she is or not, but
okay.
She was a student at the university, and I met her on the university, and we dated and subsequently married.
Very good. Do you have any children?
Yes. I have two sons, Alan and James, and I have three daughters, Lois, Helen, Lois, and Helen. I guess those are the ones I remember right
sure.
now.
Okay. After you got your veterinary degree, then what came next? Did you? What was your career path? What did you do? And tell us a little bit about that.
What I did about that was that I went to work as a full-time employee of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Bureau of Animal Industry.
Okay.
And I worked for them for several years.
Where were they located?
I worked out of an office in near Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. What was the job market at that time, sir, when you graduated? Particularly, I mean, for veterinarians, was it pretty good? Because it was during the Depression, wasn't it?
It was during the Depression, and that was the reason that I did that rather than go into a private practice.
Okay.
And private practices were good in those days, but they still were difficult. So I went to work for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay, all right. And you said you were with them for a couple of years, and then what came next?
Well, for several years, let's see. I guess I can't really tell you, right?
Okay, but then,
I'm not. I should be able to recall, but I'm not.
That's okay. Did you were? And then did you work in? You worked in Indiana.
Let's see. I worked in Indiana and Ohio.
Okay.
And became veterinarian in charge of animal health in Indiana in about 1940, something thereabouts. And I was responsible for the Department of Agriculture's programs on animal health in India.
Where were you based? Were you in Indianapolis? That's okay. You can always add that to the transcript. What were some of the duties that you had, that your job entailed for the researchers? Can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing?
What I was doing was testing cattle for bovine tuberculosis.
Okay.
And at that time, the federal government had a program in which individuals could have their animals tested, and if they were positive, they were removed from the herd, and the government paid an indemnity for the value of the animal that was being removed from the herd. The reason for removing these animals from the herd was that they had a health significance, that is, the disease was transmissible to people. And there was a program in effect at that time that was somewhat the New Deal these days, that is, and there was a program in effect to improve exposure of people to tuberculosis from animals.
Okay. Did you go to the farms, or were the animals, did they come to you for the testing?
Well, the animals they had certain times that it was advantageous for the owner of a herd of animals to have it tested for tuberculosis. In fact, it was required that it be tested for tuberculosis.
Okay. Okay. Then you stayed as the federal employee all the years that you were there. Were there other types of tests that you also were in charge of?
Well, tests for brucellosis in animals.
Okay.
And then when I left them, then I was transferred. I went to and was interviewed for employment in an office in New Orleans, and I was employed by that office, and then I was my expenses was paid, and I was employed and worked in Puerto Rico for several years.
Okay.
And in Puerto Rico, that is, there was even more concern about the health aspects as far as the people who lived in Puerto Rico. And there was a federal program on which they paid indemnity for the removal of the tuberculous animals from herds. And right at that time, there was no, the animals were just removed and slaughtered and buried. And then as time came along, that is, Puerto Rico developed tuberculosis inspection programs, and they had meat inspection, and they were, the animals that were condemned were identified by a brand on the jaw that said T, so that that animal was permanently identified as being infected with tuberculosis.
Okay.
And then the government paid an indemnity to the owners for those animals.
Okay, all right. And then after Puerto Rico, did you come back to Indiana?
Yes.
Okay. And
I came back to Pendleton, Indiana, and started working in different areas of the state of Indiana.
Okay. Did you have to do some, well, you were still doing testing and you were still with the USDA, Department of Agriculture?
Well, the children stayed with, that is, we stayed together, that mm-hmm. is, and my children and I, that is, and we lived in Pendleton, Indiana. My wife, we had a rather antiquated house, and we decided to employ an architect to build a home for us, and that's where we live today.
Very nice. And but you were still, during that time before you retired, you were still with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, is that correct?
I was with the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Uh-huh,
now,
right.
That's not, Purdue University is different from the U.S.
Sure.
Department of Agriculture.
Right, understand. Okay. Then let's talk a little bit about some of the awards, and I believe you received a Sagamore of the Wabash?
Yes, I have an award that I was given, and I can read it to you if you let me go to another phone.
All right, you hold on, and then I'll put you back. All right, I'll disconnect for a moment until you come back. Okay.
Okay, to hold on a minute, and I'll go get this award that I was given. I was given an award of being a Sagamore of the Wabash.
Fine.
And I want to get that, and I want to read it to you so that I read it to you accurately.
Correct. And I will just stop the recorder until you come back. Thank you.
Okay. Now, this award was given by Governor Orr, Robert D. Orr, Governor of the State of Indiana, and it was given the 16th day of May in 1984. And it's how much you want to read or listen to this, I don't know. It is, know all men by these presents, whereas the great state of Indiana derives in part from qualities possessed by noble chieftains of Indian tribes which once roamed on our domain, whereas it has been immortal and immemorable custom of the state of Indiana to attract to its support those that have exhibited such qualities, and there has endeared himself to the citizens of Indiana, Lowell R. Barnes, DVM, distinguished by the humanity of living, the loyalty in friendship, his wisdom in counsel, and inspiration of leadership. Now, here thereafter, recognizes his greatness, and desiring to avail myself of his counsel, I do hereby appoint him a chieftain upon my staff with the rank of Sagamore of the Wabash. Witness my hand and seal, the 16th day of May, 1984, Robert D. Orr, Governor of the State of Indiana.
Very, very nice. Right. I think another award that you got, your special recognition from the United States Animal Health Association?
Yes.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
I will just get it. It's from the United States Animal Health Association. It recognizes myself and my wife, recognize Mary Helen and Lowell Barnes for their lifetime service and outstanding contributions in this nation's animal industries and the United States Animal Health Association. Given on November 6, 2005 in Hershey, Pennsylvania, by the United States Animal Health Association.
Very nice.
I may have written, gone too fast for
no,
you.
No, I think it's okay. Let me ask you this. Now that you're retired, what can you tell us what you're doing in retirement? And when did you retire?
I retired in 1940.
Okay.
And I live in the home in the country.
Okay.
And I am in retirement. It is, I am active in the Church of the, you know, the Church of the Brethren.
Uh-huh.
Located here nearby. And I have been a member of the Church of the Brethren for a number of years. Now, I don't know what else.
That sounds good. Do you have a, would you like to, do you have an outstanding event in your life that you'd like to share with us? Anything that comes to mind? Anything special?
Right now, I don't.
Okay, that's all right. Are there any topics that you'd like to talk a little bit more about, or anything in the closing that you'd like to say?
Well, I would like to say that the thing that's my greatest accomplishment was been in developing a method of tracing animals that are found to be tuberculous at slaughter, and that are reported and traced back to their origin. By following such a program, we were able to reduce tuberculosis to the point that it's been several years. You ask the state veterinarian how long it has been since they've had a case of bovine tuberculosis in Indiana.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any other comments or comments you'd care to make? In summary? Comes to mind? Sounds like you're keeping pretty busy, though, in retirement.
Yeah. Now, of course, I spent several years in Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
And I also spent several years in Jamaica.
Oh, okay. Doing some testing down there?
I was employed by, and I'm not going to give you my exact employer that is. I can, if you really need it, I think I can find it.
No, that's okay. But you spent several years doing some testing of animals, animal testing?
Well, it was animal testing, animal health. That is, I was advisor to the governor of the state of the governor of Jamaica.
Okay.
And we had very interesting experiences with the state of Jamaica, and Dr. Peter Bent was the national person that I cooperated with. And he is now retired, but he was the representative for the country of Jamaica when I was working in Jamaica.
Very good. Well, that's very nice. Okay. Any other things that you comes to mind that you'd like to share before we end the interview?
Right off.
That pretty much covers it, you think, for the time
yeah.
being. Okay.
Now, if you want to learn something about me, that is, you can call the state veterinarian or the state of Indiana.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I think you've covered things we're interested in, that your involvement, and I think the interview certainly reflects that. And I want to thank you very much, Dr. Barnes. I've enjoyed chatting with you, and I appreciate the time that you've given to the program. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.